Luke 19, let's take a few moments and look at this together this evening. Luke 19, and we're going to start from verse 11. But if you look at the first few words in verse 11, it says, as they heard these things. Now, it's dangerous for us to assume that we're the publishers of our Bible, make the divisions is the best place to make them. And when it said, and they heard these things, we must ask the question, what things? If we don't understand what Jesus is talking about in verse 1 to 10, we won't understand what's about to happen in 11 through to the end of the chapter. So, if you look at verse 10 of your Bibles, it will say, Jesus says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And then we read, as they heard these things, this is what Jesus says. He proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because he supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. Sorry, that jumped one, didn't it? Let me take that back one. Can you take it back one? Manually, thank you. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to them, well done, good servant. Because you've been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. He said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I had laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you're a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Sorry, could you just click that there? Why then did you not put the money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said, those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to one who has 10 minas. And he said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given, but to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Let me give you this overview of the passage here. For some reason this is not working tonight, is it? Oh, there we are, it's working now. Let me take this back. We need the overview. There's meant to be something on there, isn't there? Can you click that once? No. Here's what we'll do. It's a brilliant idea. A brilliant idea. What do you think of this? Why don't we just use my notes? that'll do it. I'll use my notes, and if you think you know where I am, I know I'm standing up here, but if you think you know where I am, you can just click it. And if these people in front of me look bewildered, I can blame you. Okay, let me give you an overview of what we have just read. A nobleman leaves to get a kingdom. That's understandable. The kingdom is in his own country that he already is living in. The nobleman goes to another king to receive his kingdom. The nobleman leaves his slaves and employers with a business to do in his absence. Some send a delegation after him saying to the king that he has gone to ask for his kingdom from. We don't want this man to reign over us. Some are found to be true followers. Some are found to be false followers. Some are found to be enemies of the new king. The first group are rewarded. The second group are rejected. And the third group are destroyed. That's what we find in this little parable. The word parable, as you know, means side by side. That's what the word parable means. It means to lay something side by side. So Jesus would give an earthly story, and side by side there'd be a spiritual parallel. And normally in the parables of Jesus, there is something that's familiar and something that's unfamiliar. He might talk about sheep. He might talk about wheat and or sowing. That's familiar. But normally there is something in it that's unfamiliar. Let me give you the familiar part that they would have understood. And that's the part, if you get it there, that's that part there. What would be familiar to them was a king leaving a region, going to get a kingdom, and coming back to rule there. That would be familiar to them. For in their history this happened. There's a man, his name is Archelaus, and he had gone to Mark Antony to ask for permission from the emperor, for the area which Jesus lived in was ruled by Herods. And this is supposed to be a depiction of King Herod, a title he gave to himself. No one else called him that. Quite a humble man, I would imagine. He called himself King Herod. The Herods were appointed by the emperors of Rome. They couldn't appoint these themselves. And Rome was ruled by the Romans, by the emperors, by the Caesars. So in their history, they would know this. The Archelaus had gone there in order to be given permission to come back. A delegation had gone with him to say to Rome, the emperor, we don't want this man to reign over us. But unfortunately, he was given permission. He returned, and to put his stamp on his new position, on the first Passover, he slaughtered 2,000 Jews just to let them know there was a new kid on the block. And now they know this story. This is part of their history. This would be familiar for them, for a man to go away and to come back, and for someone not to reign and to rule over them. Now, we're told the reason why Jesus gave this story. He gave this story because he was near the kingdom of God. Let's look at these things together. Jesus, the unfamiliar is that Jesus would be Saviour, then he will be King. This they did not understand. In verse 1 or verse 11, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. Why? Because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought he would become king there, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. The word appear is a nautical term, and what it means is, imagine the horizon as you're out on your ship and you see nothing. You're looking for a piece of land, and immediately it just appears. It appears over the horizon. And this is what they think. They think the kingdom of God's about to appear. It's about to come immediately. But Jesus tells us in verse 10, I have come to seek and to save the lost. I will be Saviour before I will be King. And they must understand this. This is unfamiliar to them. When the people saw the sign that he had done, in John 6 we read, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Perceiving they that they were about to come and by force make him king, Jesus withdrew himself to a mountain by himself. So in John chapter 6, after Jesus feeds the 5,000, they wanted to make him king. The hope is that Christ would be the Messiah. He would come. Their idea of the king was not a spiritual king, but a military king, someone who would come and overthrow the Romans. They believed this would happen immediately. Now we read in Revelation chapter 11, then the seven angels blew the trumpets, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation tells us all the kingdoms of the earth belong to Jesus Christ. We have just celebrated Easter, haven't we? And you remember that Christ came into Jerusalem on a donkey. He'd never done this before. At least 3 times in his public ministry, he travelled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But on this particular occasion, he chose to ride on a donkey. Now, why did he do that? Because of Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, behold, your king comes riding on a donkey. And so as Jesus entered, he's fulfilling prophecy. But in Revelation 19, we read these words. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. And then if you read on to verse 13 and 14, you will see the name. The name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here we see Jesus coming as the palm leaves are waving. But then we jump to Revelation 19, and now we see the king coming again. But the king is not coming on a white, he's not coming on a donkey, he's coming on a white horse. And the Bible says he's come with all his holy angels with him. And it says, what does he have in his hand this time? The Bible says a rod of iron. And he's coming to rule the nations. So Jesus gives this parable, this story of this nobleman who goes to get his kingdom. He's speaking of himself. This is his kingdom. He is gone and he's coming. Engage in business until I come is the message of Luke 19. It is a call to honour the absent king. When Christ comes, there will be judgment. But this judgment of sonship has passed for you and I. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is two judgments still to come for you and me. There is a judgment of sonship. That is the judgment that you and I receive in this life. The Bible says, those whom he loves, he disciplines. God disciplines all of those whom he loves. And sometimes God will discipline me and will discipline you, but it's because he loves us. And that will happen in this life. But there's also a third judgment, and it's a judgment of stewardship. And we see this in this passage. The judgment of stewardship. The Bible says that God will test our works in one day, and they will produce, and 1 Corinthians tells us, 1 Corinthians 3, it will either produce wood, hay or stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Now that said, they'll be tested by fire. So what do you think will last? It certainly won't be the wood, hay and stubble. It'll be the gold, the silver and the precious stones. Please don't fall into the trap when you tell yourself, it sounds very pious, that you'll be happy just to get to heaven. That I'm not looking for any reward. Just, I'm happy to sit at the back with Gabriel and just sit at the back and watch everybody. That would be enough for me, just to be in heaven and just to see Christ. That will be enough. That sounds very pious. But God says he will judge the living and the dead. All of us as believers as well, we will still give an account to God. We will not be judged like the great white throne, like the unbeliever. We will be judged at God's bema seat. It will be a different judgment for the believer than it will be for the unbeliever. We will pass God's judgment, but some will be ashamed on that day. But some of the citizens hated him in verse 14. In Colossians 1:16, we read, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were made by him and for him. Whether Scotland recognises Christ as king, in one sense, is irrelevant. We live in his land. We live in the country of King Jesus. All things were created by him and for him. This is what he owns. He created this. We live in his kingdom. And just because we don't acknowledge him as king does not mean he does not have rule over us. He still has the rule over us because we live in his country. We walk his land. We breathe his air. We eat his food. We enjoy all of these things. In fact, the Bible says in Job 12 and 10, in the hand of God is what? The breath of every living thing. So our breath is not in our lungs, it's in God's hands as we walk his kingdom. And yet there was a delegation who went after Archelaus. Now, it's understandable. They knew the man was a lunatic. They didn't want this man to rule and reign over them. But Jesus tells us, they have hated me without a cause. There is no reason to hate this King Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. When he returned, having received his kingdom, he ordered the servants to whom he had given the money, and he called to them that he might know what they had gained by doing business. You remember they came to Jesus and they said, what are you doing here, Mary and Joseph? And he was in the temple for 3 days and he said, do you not know I have to be about my Father's business? And Jesus said, Father, Jesus said, I've come to do the will of him who sent me. He said, I finished the work that God gave me to do. I spoke to a minister, believe it or not, just last week past Wednesday in a church in Motherwell. And he says, well, we know at the end of Jesus' life it was a failure.